listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you again on this Memorial Day weekend. From God who creates us in grace, in mercy, and in peace. Amen. This week I'm going to be preaching once again on the book of Acts, the first lesson that Jay read. And it's kind of a little bit of a series. I preached on Acts last week, and that's when Paul had a vision. I'm sorry, reverse that. Peter had the vision last week. Remember the sheet that comes down and all the creatures that are on it? This week, Paul has a vision. Paul has a vision, and it is an energetic group of people who are open to Paul's vision. It's really interesting, Acts chapter 16, when he had seen the vision, it says, when he had seen the vision, the narrator says, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. Let's pause right there and take that in. So you have this character, Paul, who has a vision. He tells his group about it, and they immediately go with him into a whole new continent. This is kind of a neat story because this is the story where Christianity is said to have crossed into Europe. Macedonia, of course, is Greece. And so Christianity is coming into Europe. So many have speculated if it wasn't for Lydia, who in this text is the one who welcomes them and gives them hospitality and takes care of them, if it wasn't for her, maybe none of us would be here. Because most of us learned about Christianity through the European traditions that came our way, came over the ocean a long time ago. Think about that. If Christianity hadn't passed through, Paul has this vision, invites the people who are with him to go. What's crazy is that they actually believe him and do it. So they set sail from Troas to Samothrace to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. That's their missionary journey. Paul has a vision. They immediately follow with him. That's their missionary journey. How's yours looking this week? You know you're all Christ's missionaries, right? From where will you set sail this week? Where will your visions lead you in these coming days and weeks and months? How might you record your missionary journeys like they did in the New Testament? God's calling some of us to local places. Maybe God's calling some of us downtown. Maybe God is calling some of us across the river or across the tracks, maybe over borders, maybe over to visit a friend's house. Or maybe over to visit someone who's definitely not your favorite person, but to offer comfort and support in a time of need. Maybe our missionary journey might go something like this. During the night, Barbara had a vision. There stood a man on the corner of Braddock and Backlip, pleading with her and saying, "Come over to the city and help us." And when she had seen the vision, we all immediately tried to cross over into downtown, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to the people there. This is in the text. We set sail from Bethlehem's parking lot and took a straight course to the steps of the U.S. Senate building, which is the leading city in the district. That was in the text too. The following day, we went to visit an aging friend who was lonely, and from there we continued on. Maybe something like that is how we might narrate our missionary story. Does it sound crazy, all this talk of visions? A little bit irrational? Maybe so. One of our saints at the last congregation I served, her name is Betty Corsi. She reminds me a lot of Val, actually. Betty Corsi, it was Easter Sunday. And everybody is there, the church is packed, everybody's in their Easter finest. We had brass instruments that day, and everything was intended to be glorious. Wanted to impress everyone, and if there's any visitors coming, family members, we just wanted to blow the roof off. And I thought we did a pretty decent job of that. I remember that was one Sunday we had chairs in that sanctuary. And on that Sunday, we had never done this before, but we, just a few of us knew about this, we put all the chairs in a circle instead of in the traditional format. So that when you came in for Easter Sunday, suddenly worship was in the round, and we moved the altar into the center of the room, and it actually opened up more seating in the space, so there was a practical reason. But it was mostly just for this powerful image of being equidistant and kind of being in a circle on Easter, the surprise, the shock, the symbolism of the Christian community, equidistant from one another, looking at each other. Anyway, it was all intended to shock and awe everybody there. I thought we did a pretty good job of that, but Betty was unimpressed. She was unfazed by it, too. I mean, some were upset by it. Others really loved it. Betty just seemed sort of unfazed. She wasn't interested in the drama of it all. She was not all that shocked by the Easter fabulousness that I thought we had before us. She just pulls me aside after the service. I'm thinking, oh, she's going to talk about how great this is or how much she doesn't like it. She pulls me aside after Easter Sunday that year. She quietly says, she's pointing over to this little plot of ground that we have in the far corner of the church property. And she says to me, Pastor, I had a vision. Why don't we have a garden over there and grow food for hungry people? Easter Sunday. Before long, we set sail, if you will, from a clump of dirt and weeds. We took a straight course to organizing ourselves in the congregation. And in several months, we had crossed over to 12 small plots across the parking lot at the far corner of the land where Betty all saw it in her head. 12 small plots where fruits and vegetables and herbs grew, 6 fruit trees. 8 families were tending those plots, a Girl Scout troop also, a preschool class, our Sunday school class, and members of our community who weren't even coming to worship on Sunday, all participating together, all taking care of this once deserted spot that Betty reimagined on Easter Sunday morning. We set sail from a clump of dirt and weeds, and now there's a garden there, a community garden. Our reading from Revelation this morning says, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Imagine that with the children. Imagine what that looks like, the healing of the nations. If you could paint or draw or write a song or act the healing of the nations out, how would you do that? For some, maybe they see the healing of the nations in their Holy Spirit-inspired mind's eye as a community garden. Everybody's working together to grow something for people who are hungry, people from all walks. We set sail from here, the text says. Wherever here is for you. Sometimes here is not a pretty place, and we're game for an adventure. Other times here is a very comfortable and beautiful place, and yet God is calling us out of that comfort zone. Classic Easter theme. And look what happens to Paul and his companions in this text, in this story today. They get taken in by Lydia. They are taken care of despite the insane risks that they take. A vision, and then they're off. Everybody just goes and follows after that vision. But they meet this woman, it says, of considerable means, and her name is Lydia. And she offers them safety in a strange land, hospitality. She offers them welcome. Who knew? Have you met any Lydias lately? Lydias are the angels among us, so I know that you have. When we risk the missionary journey, whether we're traveling downtown to help out at a soup kitchen or across the world or across the living room, when we take the risk and make the missionary journey, sometimes we are met by Lydias. Amazing people who are out there ready to welcome us in, perhaps even ready to be baptized along the water's edge, like in the text. And when we risk the missionary journey, oftentimes there's trouble too. It's not all just meeting wonderful people. Almost always it's trouble. It's resistance or threat or loss or pain or sorrow. The apostles certainly write about all that as well in our texts. But this is always where God calls us and needs us to go, friends in Christ, to set sail from clumps of dirt and weeds. Reverend Dr. Ben Stewart, who is a preaching professor at my alma mater, Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, he reminds us that we are all earth creatures. I like that. We're all earth creatures. We're all dry clumps of dirt and weeds. Sorry, but it's true. But God takes us and sets us to sail by breathing life into us, and off we go into this life, filled with God's spirit, God's breath, God's wind. That's all the same word in Hebrew, that word ruach. Look where we go. Where will God's spirit, God's wind, God's breath blow you this week and this coming month into this new summer? Maybe you'll meet a Lydia, and maybe you won't. But no matter what, friends in Christ, know that ultimately you will be taken in. You will be cared for, even as we cross over into new places, because you are a child of God. Hear Jesus' words again from this Gospel of John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Peace I give to you. Carry that with you this week. Maybe make it your morning prayer when you wake up. Do not let your heart be troubled. Peace I give to you. Maybe say it at lunchtime or when you're sitting in traffic. Maybe when you're facing a difficult situation at work or at home. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Peace I give to you. Maybe say it right before you close your eyes and go to sleep. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Peace I give to you. The Gospel of John lives in our bones. You know. We set sail this day because when God gives us that holy CPR, what does CPR stand for again? Cardiac pulmonary resuscitation. Hearts and lungs resuscitated. When God gives us that holy resuscitation, we can't help but live with gusto, live with spirit, live with vision, live like the new Jerusalem has dropped right down on us here in Fairfax, Virginia. When God gives us that holy CPR, when God blows into us spirit, wind, and breath, we can't help but live like the tree of life is growing right here in our front yards. If you have a tree or a plant in your front yard, give thanks for it. I know we have several beautiful trees in our front yard here at Bethlehem. Give thanks for that and see and remember that image of the healing of all the nations. Your home, your dwelling place is a place of God's healing. That's where God is breathing life into you. It turns everything around. It raises the dead and hydrates the dry ground. It causes fruit to grow for healing's sake. That's what happens when God's vision sets us to sail. Friends, God through Christ sets you to sail this day in love and forgiveness, in peace and in joy. So off we go.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.